Welcome to the Spring into Summer Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Miss Arlene Gale. Arlene, would you take it from here?
Well, hello, everybody. Summertime. Summertime means spending more time with your family. Does that make you want to say, yay, or yay, or something else mumbled under your breath? Well, today I'd like to talk to you about some tools to use during these summer months when parenting can be more full-time, a little unscheduled, and often unpredictable. These tools can also be used during extra time spent with extended family, too. But first, I'd like to share a piece of wisdom that I got more than 20 years ago. I was about 8 months pregnant with my first son and meeting with the pediatrician we had selected. And he asked for my plan going home after the baby was born. Who was coming to help me, when, and for how long? Well, both of my parents were gone by this time, so I told the doctor that my in-laws were coming over for a few days, but my plan was for them to take care of groceries and meals and, you know, those household things. My job was to take care of my new baby, and I was not in any way, shape, or form intending to hand over those new mommying jobs to anybody. So the doctor continued with this question. Do you know what visiting family members and fish have in common? I actually stopped for a moment and really thought about that. I mean, this sounded like a serious question. And then I finally, not having an answer, just said, no. And he said, as serious as a heart attack, he said, both begin to get stinky after about 3 days, and then it becomes time to toss them out. Well, we both laughed. I was relieved that it wasn't any more serious than that, actually, to tell you the truth. But since then, I've learned a lot. First, this is so true. Have you ever noticed at a family reunion that things go great the first day? Everybody seems to be kind and catching up, and they're on their best behavior. They're overlooking other family members' faults or personality issues or past idiosyncrasies. Then on the second day, one or two people might say something to you or about someone else that begins to kind of rub you the wrong way, but you still smile and nod and choose to move on. By the third day, it seems that someone, because every family has one of these someones, gets to be nitpicky or scratching at past scabs or referring to past slights or embarrassing moments, and then things begin to go downhill from there. By the same token, also, when family vacation starts for school-age children, the first few days, maybe even the first week at the longest, are really great because summertime's a novelty. And then the comments start, I'm bored. I'll present some more tools to address the I'm bored comments in a few minutes. But basically, I think this formula for the three-day limit holds pretty much true, give or take a day or two based on your family dynamics. The other thing I've learned about fish and family is this. If you throw out a stinky fish during the first week of the month, there isn't any rule that says you can't buy another fish the next week or another fish the week after that. Translate that into family terms, there really is no rule that says that you can't ask family for their help in small doses. Visiting families with families in three-day increments or so allows everybody to leave on a high note. And I think there's this stage quote that says something like, always leave them wanting more. And it's the same is true for the family. So I want to talk about three key points for summer survival. Today I'll be discussing taking care of yourself first, don't try and do it all by yourself, and finally, what are you teaching your children? These key points are important for your well-being, dare I even say your sanity at some point, and regardless of whether you have small children or high school age children or college age at home for the summer, these tools work. Or if you're going to a short or long-term family reunion event, these tools work. So let's start with take care of yourself first. Some people think the idea of taking care of yourself is selfish or self-centered or greedy. But that's backwards thinking. How on earth can you take care of others if you don't take care of yourself first? Well, actually, I've seen it done by too many people, but you can give and give and give and give of yourself to take care of other people around you until you drop from exhaustion. But when that happens, then who takes care of the family or the other things that you are taking care of? It's about finding that balance. On an airplane, you hear the emergency instructions that say, if the oxygen masks fall out from above you, secure yours first and then your children's and then help other people around you. This is the take care of yourself first so that you can take care of others philosophy in action. So with that said, even though you may have children at home during the summer months or family comes to visit, you need to stick to or improve your own personal routine to focus on taking care of yourself. For example, if you're used to walking every day after you drop the kids off at school or before you pick them up at the end of the day, keep doing that, even if it means adding the kids to your walking routine. If you're used to putting kids to bed at 8 p.m. during the school year, for example, then you spend the next 2 or 3 hours getting caught up on the laundry that needs to be done, the dishes, paying bills, or things like that, try to stick to this bedtime routine. Because now that it's summer, you know that your children are going to want to stay up until 10 p.m. or later every night, but then that keeps you up later too. Research has shown that it's better for children and for you to stay on a regular bedtime routine. Sure, you can make an exception every now and then. There's no rule against that, but don't make that exception a habit. Or there's another way to allow children to stay up a little bit later. They can go to their room at 8 o'clock, their regular bedtime, and then they can read in bed or they can play with toys for an extra hour. You'll find that I'm a big creator of win-win scenarios, and this is an example or a big supporter of creating win-win scenarios. And this is an example of a win-win scenario. This gives them extra time to feel like they're staying up late, but it also allows you to do your end of the workday work too. If your children are younger and you need to hire a babysitter once a week so you can go run errands, go do it. Or find another mom and take all the kids to the park. One mom stays with the kids and lets them play outside, maybe even take a picnic lunch for a change of pace. Then one mom will go grocery shopping, come back to the park, and trade out so the other mom can go do the grocery shopping. Again, a win-win scenario for both moms because they get their errands run, their grocery shopping done, and the children get to run and play outside, none the wiser that you've actually been doing your motherly work, parental work, while they were out playing. Another example of taking care of yourself and creating a win-win scenario is with the topic of entertainment. Did you know that you're not required to entertain your children 24/7? And you don't have to turn on the television or video games to entertain them either. It really is okay for your children to go to their rooms for quiet time every day. They can draw, read, color, play with Play-Doh, play with other toys, do puzzles, make their room a friendly place for them to hang out and want to do things in. You can set a timer, too, if you want, so that when the buzzer goes off, they can come out of their room. This routine quiet time teaches children to self-soothe, to entertain themselves. It can increase their reading ability, give them time to use their art skills or develop those art skills, and much more. Self-soothing is really a skill that will serve your children very well as they grow older and experience more stress in their busy days. Self-soothing is important when a child wants something but doesn't get it. For example, if your child goes out for a sports team or runs for student council office in school or doesn't get that job that they thought they were going to get because the interview went so well. Self-soothing is a very valuable lifelong skill. So giving quiet time not only helps you have the time to take care of yourself, either by getting other things done or simply resting yourself. It is a great, valuable skill to teach your children. So now, as promised, let's talk about that "I'm bored" that your children will come to you and say after about the first week of summer. I used to tell my children, if you're bored, it's because you're being boring. Well, of course, I'd get that eye roll thing going. And then I'd say, so what can you do to change the situation? And then ask them to go think about it or find something to do. But you know, and I know, that they'll be back in a matter of no time at all, saying, I'm bored. So then I'd say, okay, find something to do or I will do it for you. I will find something for you. But I had a plan all along because, you know, us parents, we really are better when we're prepared. So when the whining about being bored starts, I was prepared. I had written on a single piece of paper an item that I wanted to have them done. I folded that piece of paper and put it into a jar or a container. I also had a box of rags set aside, too. So after the, I'm bored, I can't find anything to do, I'd send the child to the container to draw out a piece of paper with a task written on it. The task might say something, get some rags and clean the kitchen windows, or get some rags and clean the back porch bedroom windows. Get some rags and wipe down the baseboards in all the living rooms or in the bathrooms or in the bedrooms. Be as specific as you can about this. Get some rags and clean off the light switches around the house. Get some rags and dust the living room furniture. Clean the kitchen cabinet fronts. Get some rags and buckets and go wash the outside of the cars. Get some rags and wash the windows and upholstery on the inside of the cars. Get a broom and sweep the floor. Here's another one. Get a trash bag and clean out all the gunk from the barbecue grill. Or get a trash bag and clean out the old, gray, gunky, dusty stuff that's sitting in the bottom of the fireplace that hasn't been used now for about 6 months. The other thing is it can be things to help build bonds between the children. You could have the oldest child sit down with the younger child or children and read books to them. Or it could say, go get a card game and play that card game with your brothers or sisters, or a board game. Those sorts of things bring the kids together and they can have fun. A lot of these things are things that I need to do or want done anyway. They're extra chores, but the kids love doing these things. It helps them feel self-reliant and it helps them feel like they're participating, but they can also be a lot of fun, especially washing the car and being able to hose each other down on a hot summer day. Again, it's about that win-win scenario. The kids get something different to do, and they are no longer bored, and you get some of those to-dos off of your list and get the kids out from underfoot for a little while. The next topic is don't try and do it all yourself. This can be considered as part of the taking care of yourself, too. Ask for help. There's no shame in asking for help. As a matter of fact, count your blessings that you have people in your life that you can ask to give you help. Do you ever get upset because everyone else is laughing and having a good time, but you're doing the dishes or cooking the meals or doing laundry or whatever else needs to be done? In the business world, the best business managers know how to delegate. As a parent and as an adult in your family, you're a family manager, so delegate. Children, no matter their age, should be able to help with chores. In a recent survey of 1,000 adults, 82% report that they had regular chores growing up, and they further reported that it taught them responsibility, self-esteem, and other important life skills. But for some reason, those same adults said only 28% of them said that they gave their own children regular chores. Psychologists report that giving age-appropriate chores to children builds self-confidence, self-reliance, and builds a foundation for a sense of success academically now and then later on professionally. Chores teach children how to be empathetic and responsive to other people's needs. And I got to tell you, as I get older, this last one has become more and more important to me because I want to know that I raise children that I can trust to help take care of me as I quickly approach, retirement age. Chores teach our children time management and accountability. Children can help with chores at any age, so ask them, let them get involved. But obviously, a child at 4 or 5 years old helps with laundry differently than one who is 13, 14, or 15 years old. A younger child can learn to sort laundry, though, based on color. They can help put laundry in the washing machine, and then they can move it from the washer to the dryer. As a child gets older, they can help put clothes on hangers and learn to put their own clothes away. A teenager can begin to do all of their own laundry. Start with the adult help and supervision, and then give them a day of the week that is just their laundry day. My oldest son was 14 years old when he started doing his own laundry. He had all day Sunday to do his laundry. He interspersed doing that laundry with getting his homework done and getting ready for school on Monday. When my now 20-year-old son went to college, he had to teach his roommates and his suite mates to do laundry. None of them had ever done a load of laundry in their lives. What a disservice their parents did to them, in my opinion. Another example of don't try to do it all by yourself is cooking. A young child can pour their own cereal in a bowl. Washing an apple, grapes, or strawberries for a snack. They can pull out baby carrots and pour their own ranch dip dressing for a snack. They can get out a container of yogurt and open it themselves. They can make toast. They can spread butter and sprinkle garlic on bread and then wrap it in tinfoil to be put in the oven. Children can learn to follow any recipe. This isn't brain surgery we're teaching our children. This is basic survival skills, if you will. A child can help make meat patties or meatballs. And I got to tell you, this was a lesson I learned the hard way. As a parent who'd been cooking a long time, I really had to get over that idea that meatballs or hamburger patties didn't have to be all the same size. I'll talk about this more in a little bit. But trying to get over that for me was in having a discussion with myself about what am I teaching my child? In this case, what was I teaching my child about cooking? Am I teaching them how to cook? Am I teaching them cooking can be fun? How to be involved in the process? How good it feels to be helpful? And at mealtime, how good it feels to say, I made those meatballs? Yes, yes, yes to all of the above. That's what I want to be teaching my child. Or am I teaching my child that meatballs must be all the same size or the world will come to an end? No, this isn't the kind of teaching that I want to teach my child. That kind of teaching spills into drama in other areas of our lives, and then their lives too. It was fun to have my children cook with me. It made the daily grind of finding something for dinner more fun because I wasn't in the kitchen alone while everyone else was out playing. By now you may have figured out that my basic philosophy is that I'm raising adults, not children. They're already children who will grow into young adults. Yes, I know that children should have fun. They should play and they should be children. But my job as a parent is to love them and teach them. Their job as children is to have fun learning, to have fun experiencing different things as they grow into adulthood. Children inherently make everything fun. It's our attitude that changes their attitude. How will a child grow into a self-confident adult with any clue as to what they want to do with their life if we as parents don't give them different opportunities to learn and experience different things? So when doing things around the house, find a way to include your children. Teach them until you can delegate to them. Consider that time found is time that time together as time found, extra time with them. If extended family is around for a visit, teach them what you can use their help with, and then get out of the way and let them do what you assign them to do. It really is okay if your sister doesn't load the dishwasher the same way you do. Let her do the dishes. Walk away if you have to. Don't watch. It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's just a matter of difference. And it really is okay if your mother-in-law or cousin or other extended family member doesn't cook pasta the way you do, doesn't mix a salad the way you do, or make garlic bread the same way you do. It's not a matter of right or wrong. Again, it's just a matter of difference. Dr. Phil often asks, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Choose happy and don't sweat the small stuff. As the saying goes, because you'll come to realize that it really is all small stuff. This new attitude and these behaviors are a gift to yourself. Again, creating a win-win scenario because you will have more time to relax, visit, more time for fun, and your family members will feel helpful and valuable too. The last topic is, what are you teaching your children? When I get frustrated by my children, my spouse, or extended family, or anybody for that matter, I have to take a deep breath and a moment to think before I speak or act. I ask myself questions about, what am I teaching my children in the way I live my life? What am I teaching them about who I am? What am I teaching them about who they are? What am I teaching them about how people are allowed to treat them? For example, if I don't take care of myself, what am I teaching my children? Am I teaching my daughter that a woman runs herself into the ground and has so little value that she gives up her own life and her own health for everyone else? If you're mom and you have a daughter, picture her as an adult and ask yourself what you are teaching her by the way you live your life. Are you teaching her it's not important to take care of herself? Or are you teaching her that it's important to exercise a few days a week? Or that it really is okay to want to have nice-looking nails, so you go out and get a manicure once a month? Are you teaching her it is not okay to have friends of her own? Or are you teaching her that it is okay to go out with the girls once a month or once every 2 months? Are you teaching her it's not okay to find her own passions in life and then live them? What is your passion in life and how do you live it? Maybe you don't remember because it's been so long ago since you gave those up. Maybe you should rediscover those things and teach her. If you're a dad and have a daughter, picture her as an adult and ask yourself, what are you teaching her as a father, as a man, about taking care of yourself? Are you teaching her about the kind of man she should or shouldn't look for in the spouse? Are you teaching her that it's okay to give of herself and possibly die young of exhaustion? Or are you teaching her to be cherished by a man who treats her well and makes time to be with her and wants to make her happy? If you're the mother of sons, picture them as adults. What are you teaching them about the way you live your life? What are you teaching them about how women matter, how women are to be treated, and about relationships? Are you teaching your sons that a young lady can tell a lot about a man by the way he treats and speaks to his mother? Are you teaching your sons it's okay to work side by side in helping with dishes, dinners, and laundry, just like it's okay for their future spouse maybe to like mowing the grass? Are you teaching your son that neither you nor he is infallible and that heartfelt apology is not a sign of weakness? If you're a father and you have sons, picture them as an adult, and what are you teaching them about being a man, a husband, or a father? Do you want to send the message never having any fun is taking out time for themselves is the way that they should live their life? Are you changing the oil in the car and fixing other things around the house, but not teaching your sons how to do that because it's just easier to do it yourself? Well, if that's the case, you're robbing them of the opportunity to learn from you. But more importantly, you're also robbing them of the opportunity to see you as their hero. Are you teaching your sons vulnerability? Teaching them how a real man isn't afraid to be wrong or to say, I'm sorry? Are you teaching your sons that sometimes a question is just a question and not an accusation? For moms and dads, what are you teaching your children about communication and or conflict resolution by what you model in your house? I know there are so many more examples, but I think you get the idea from these. For me, making a choice, giving a response or taking action is very different when couched in these terms. What am I teaching my children by the way I live my life? Thank you for your time today. I'm Arlene Gale, best-selling multiple award-winning author of Face Forward, Move Forward, and 6 companion journals, all of them available on Amazon.com. I'm also a professional speaker on a variety of topics. You can learn more from my website. My website is arlene.gale@yahoo.com. That's arlene.gale@yahoo.com. I'd appreciate any feedback you want to give me on this podcast or anything else. You can do that by going to my website and hitting the Contact Me button. If you'd like to know more about me and read more helpful hints on being a positive, happier you, here's where you can find me. I'd love to have you like me on Facebook. You can find me there at Arlene Gale, author and public speaker. You'll know it's me because there's a small image of my book cover on that page. Again, it's Arlene, A-R-L-E-N-E, Gale, G-A-L-E, author and public speaker. I'd also love to have you follow me on Twitter. My Twitter name is @Arlene_Gale. That's the at symbol, @Arlene_Gale. Thank you again for your time, and I look forward to connecting you with you in the future on whatever venue you feel is appropriate or might help you. I'm always open to questions, so please do contact me. Until we meet again, take care and have a great summer.